Life is unpredictable. I think all of us learn that. Sometimes we learn it in good ways. Sometimes we learn it in really hard ways. You're valuable to Christianity Today, and we want you to be prepared and protected. And one of the ways that that can happen is by having a will and getting a will together for your family and to care for your loved ones. If you've already set up your will and other important estate planning documents, that's great. But if you haven't, Christianity Today has partnered with Epic Will to easily and affordably walk you through the whole process of creating a legally binding and state-specific will in as little as 10 minutes. You owe it to yourself and your loved ones to take this vital step, and you can get started today by visiting morect.com/will. That's more with just one O, ct.com/will. And for a limited time, you can get 10% off. That's morect.com/will.
Today's episode of Quick to Listen is brought to you in part by ChristianBook.com. If you're still shopping for Christian products online at a secular retailer, ChristianBook.com has the web's largest selection of everything Christian for less. ChristianBook.com. Today is Wednesday, November 14th, and this is Quick to Listen, where we go beyond hashtags and hot takes to discuss a major cultural event. Today we will be speaking with Dr. Paul Mapindi about what is going on with Christians in the Central African Republic. I'm Morgan Lee, Associate Digital Media Producer here at Christianity Today, and I'm joined, as always, by Mark Galley, our Editor-in-Chief. Mark, it's good to have you here.
It's good to be here, I think.
I think. You're always so just like one foot in, one foot out. Mark is happy to be here.
I am happy to be here.
All right, Mark, tell us more about Dr. Mapindi.
Paul Mapindi was born and educated in the Democratic Republic of the Congo and earned advanced degrees later in Old Testament studies, as well as a PhD in historical theology in the U.S. Dr. Mapindi is director of Mission French Africa, a radio ministry focused in evangelism, discipleship, and stewardship in French Africa. And for the past 15 years, Dr. Mapindi and his wife Charlotte have developed a daily audience of more than 10 million listeners throughout French Africa, Europe, and Haiti. Welcome, Dr. Mapindi.
Oh, thank you very much.
How's it going in the great state of Michigan?
Going well, but it's cold here, so.
It's that time of year. Yep.
Yep.
Mark was just complaining about the weather.
No, I wasn't. I was embracing the elements, as you recall.
It's supposed to snow tonight, so that's exciting for sure. How do you feel about the snow?
Well, in Michigan, we don't complain about it. If you do, then you're going to get more. So
there you go.
That's a good thing to tell your children, right? You're like, if you don't like the weather, if you say it out loud, you're only going to have more snow or more rain.
I will say my appreciation for winter grew after I was able to buy myself a snowblower.
Okay.
There you go.
I love working with tools.
Well, let's get into our discussion. It's been a bloody year in the Central African Republic. 2 months ago, a massacre claimed the lives of dozens of people in the country after suspected Islamist rebels attacked a group of civilians in the central town of Bria. The massacre was just the latest in a wave of violence for the country of 4.5 million people. At the beginning of this year, the CAR's capital had been considered a safe haven in the war-torn country. It was the only place the government claimed control, as three-quarters of the landlocked nation is occupied by armed groups. But since the spring, the country has witnessed an upsurge of violence in recent months, notably with attacks targeting churches and church leaders in the capital city, Bangui, and Bamburi, another important city in the country. Since January, four Catholic priests were targeted, with three of them killed in separate attacks. To be fair, however, a self-defense militia composed primarily of Christians has also committed atrocities against Muslims. The Central African Republic is about 50% Christian and equally divided between Catholics and Protestants. It currently ranks number 35 on Open Doors' list of the 50 countries where it's hardest to be a Christian. Today on Quick to Listen, we'll discuss why violence is once again on the upswing, who really makes up the country's quote-unquote Christian militia, and what it will take for peace to prevail here. All right, Mark, I would love to get your gut reaction to some of the news that we just shared here.
Yeah, for some reason, in rereading about the incidents happening there recently, especially the killing of the priests, for some reason it affected me much more emotionally than a lot of these stories do. You know, being in the news business, you're used to hearing this stuff day in and day out, so it doesn't affect you as much. But for some reason, hearing about the murder of three priests just made me think, man, it would be a scary place to be a Christian right now there.
So I have covered Christians who are persecuted, I don't know, for 4 or 5 years at this point. And one of the things that makes this story a little bit unique to me is this Christian militia. I don't know that much about it. It adds this really interesting wrinkle. You know, many times when you talk to Muslims, they will try to distance themselves from the more violent actors in their faith and don't really see them as a true representation of that. And I'm curious to the degree to which Christians would often distance themselves from that Christian militia, or if they do see it as a way that they're fighting back against the violence that's perpetuated by them.
And this isn't the only country in the world where Christians have felt the need to take up arms to defend themselves. I believe that's happened in Nigeria. It's happened in Southeast Asia in troubling times. So it's not an unusual phenomenon for Christians to do this, but it'll be interesting to get Dr. Mapindi's view of if that's effective, useful, helpful, right, biblical, whatever.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Mapindi, let us start our discussion with you. Maybe I can just ask you really quickly, what are some things that you would want our listeners to know about the Central African Republic?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share about it used to be very peaceful, you know. We lived there. My kids were born there. I studied there. I taught there. It used to be very calm, but I think everything blew up, I would say. Now, the country had all the political turmoil in the past. That was mostly between dictators trying to chase one another. But in 2013, then things really changed because it became mostly a religious war, because the Seleka, as they are called, are Muslim rebels who came and toppled the government. Now, when people say the Christian government, that's not really... The president happened to be a Christian, but we can't say Christian government. So then everything just was really, really messed up, because instead of just being a coup d'etat, this Seleka rebellion became a religious war. Now, I have to be fair to the Muslims too, because the Selekas didn't just kill Christians. They killed also Muslims as well. So then in reaction, you have this anti-Balaka, they call it, the Christian militia, call themselves anti-Balaka. As a pastor, I think I would not call those anti-Balaka Christians, because those anti-Balakas clearly say they use witchcraft to do their stuff. So I don't see how we can call them Christians.
Wow,
so,
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, their name is clear, anti-Balaka. They wear witchcraft stuff on their bodies and kill people when they find, and I don't think it's fair to identify them as Christian.
Why do you suppose journalists, at least the recent, I just read something in The Atlantic to get myself up to speed on this, call them primarily Christian? So they still must identify with Christianity in some respect.
Well, now you have to understand that the country has two main religions. So it's Christianity first. And I think the percentage of Christian in CAR is about 85%. So it's a large, mostly Christian nation in terms of the number. And then you have Islam that has been growing there, so that anything that is not Muslim is considered Christian.
I see. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Since these militias are mostly targeting Muslims, that's why journalists call them Christians. Now, I have to say, I in all fairness, I think most of them go to church. But the church as a body in Central African Republic has no militia. Yeah, the church is not behind anything. We just don't like violence. And both the Catholic and Protestant churches are working together to kind of encourage both sides to kind of calm down and talk instead of fighting.
So you mentioned that this coup happened in 2013. Has the country basically been in a state of unrest since that time?
Yes. Now, the country has been in a state of unrest since 1994, when since when the country moved from this dictatorship to democracy, because then there were coups d'etats, but all those coups d'etats happened, usually I was there, you know, one general will kick the other general, and then 1 or 2 days, and then everything's back to normal. But in 2013, I think really things just went crazy, because when the Seleka came, they just didn't come to change the government. They came with a clear Islamic tone. And then they started killing, targeting Christians. And then the militias, the Christian militias, then rose up and started kind of defending themselves. So I think there would be no Christian militias if the Seleka just came and then tried to stay in power as the other dictators used to do in the past. But for this time, they went. I was there. It's, you know, I was there when the Seleka got in and hid under the bed for a couple of days, you know. So
yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about what happened? You were at your house and you heard about this on TV or on the radio, or what happened?
Well, I actually, you know, we came from Grand Rapids and we flew back to Bangui to minister to pastors over there. And then while we were there, the Seleka got in and we were pinned down. So I was there with my wife under the bed because they were shooting all over the place. We were waiting because we thought, okay, it's going to take 1 or 2 days and everything will be calm. No, they just started killing people and killing Christians. Then we knew that we were in trouble. So we hid there for a week or so, and then we were evacuated and came back to the U.S. So these things are not just news. These are people being killed, mostly because the Seleka have a clear religious agenda. I feel sorry also because they don't just kill Christians. They kill Muslims who don't see things the way they see them. So it's a very deadly combination here.
Let's talk a little bit about the Christian community in Central African Republic. What denominations is it made up of, and what are the biggest denominations?
In Central African Republic, I think the Baptists are the ones who are majority there. You also have, I would just not say Baptist, but let's call them evangelicals. The evangelicals are really, really the majority there. And then you have the Baptists, the Pentecostals, and all the others. And then you have the Catholic on the other side. And I think there are more Catholics in CAR than Protestants, I think.
What type of ethnic groups do you have in CAR?
Oh, there are more than 10 tribes. But mostly you have the Manja, you have the Baya, you have the Yakumas, you have the Bayas, you have the other ones they call Dingbaka, but in CAR they call them Baya. Those tribes, most of them live peacefully. But by the way, most of the people messing up CAR are not people from Central African Republic. They're coming from other Muslim nations over there in the north, you know.
Which countries?
Well, most of them come from Sudan, I think. And then some people in the north also are from Central African Republic. But most of them are foreigners who come and basically come to get whatever they can get in terms of resources in the country. But the tribes of CAR themselves are peaceful people. I know them very well. I work with them. It's it used to be a nation that you could really go to and without anything to worry about anything, because they are peaceful people. The kind of violence we are seeing now is contrary to their nature. But the church has been playing a very good and important role there, and I am so thankful for both the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, because they are working together. The Catholic bishop there has been in the forefront of a peace transition, helping the government, helping the rebels. And then he's working with the Muslims also to bring peace to the country. So I think so far things are tough, but I think the government of Central African Republic is committed to peace. And the president himself is a good Christian. I know him personally. And we pray that the Lord may continue to help him to be successful in bringing up peace to this country.
Historically, would you say that Muslims and Christians in the CAR have gotten along?
Oh, yes. This is a war that comes from the outside because Muslims and Christians live together. We live together for years. By the way, Muslims are the ones who own all the shops, you know. So there was no problem, not at all. But and then I think some of them, the people there went out of the country and got weapons. And of course, at their head, there is a guy from CAR. But most of the people doing the killing are people who came from the outside.
Just for some context, I'm sure that some of our listeners know that CAR is obviously in Africa, but they don't really know where it is. Can you tell us about some of CAR's neighbors and what part of the continent it's in?
Yeah, the name of the country itself, Central African Republic, means that the country is at the center of the continent, landlocked. The neighboring countries are Congo Democratic, and then Congo Brazzaville, and then Chad, and then Sudan, and then Cameroon. So it's a landlocked country. So you have all these powerful neighbors all over the you know. So if you look at the African map, just point at the center, and you'll see Central African Republic.
Hey, this is Morgan from Quick to Listen, and today we're speaking with Ben Minks, who recently returned from a Kingdom at Work workshop. Kingdom at Work is a ministry that seeks to inspire, equip, and ignite leaders to advance God's kingdom through their influence in the marketplace. So, Ben, I'm really curious, how did the Kingdom at Work workshop speak into the type of work that you do?
I'm a home builder in the Twin Cities. We build homes from the ground up and sell those houses. That's the business that we're in, but like so many other businesses, it's really a people business. And so the Kingdom at Work workshop kind of lays out some fundamentals. It's the Lord's business. This is where God placed us to influence other people for His kingdom. One key idea is, does every person in our organization really feel cared for? And kind of going up and down our whole heart chart and saying, how about this person? How about that person? Do they really feel cared for? The Kingdom at Work program gives us specific, doable, very practical ideas and measures for creating a culture or an atmosphere in which people that come into contact with us get a glimpse of Christ, of the character of God through our interactions with them.
What I loved most of all about Israel and why I became a Zionist was because Zionism was a rejection of victimhood.
A few weeks ago on CT's The Bulletin, we launched Promised Land, a new podcast about Israel and Palestine in a post-October 7th world.
6:30 a.m. we're in our synagogue praying and sirens go off and they're going on.
Based on interviews and conversations captured on the ground in Israel last November, it's an exploration of the spiritual, political, and historical roots of the conflict.
When there's a weak Israel, every Jew in the world is weak.
And why should a Russian Jew who has nothing to do with this land come here? Why? Well, I mean, if you want, you can give them Texas. You love them so much.
I am alive because I didn't come home. But all my friends that were here were murdered. Here, over there.
This week, Promised Land moves to its own feed. You'll find links in the show notes. So if you haven't heard it yet, you can go catch up and catch the new episodes as they come all in one place.
Why do you think that this year there's been an upswing in violence?
It is politics. I think this is my own opinion. Central African Republic is a small country. There is goodwill. That thing can be fixed in 2 or 3 weeks. The rebels are not almighty. It's just a bunch of people with RPGs and Kalashnikovs. They are not a powerful army, no. But what I notice is since CAR is poor, all the other countries don't care. Nobody wants really to help them. You know, they are on their own, at the mercy of these rebels. The army of the CAR is weak, and there is this an embargo. The government can't buy weapons. So I don't see how the government of CAR can reinstore law and order. Because one, they can't buy weapons. Two, the rebels are getting weapons wherever they want. So I don't see this. I don't understand it. I just sit there and watch. Because the rebels are not powerful. I can say that.
So who's enforcing an embargo?
The United Nations.
Oh?
Say more. How did that happen?
Wow.
But the United Nations really is not. There are certain powers that are behind doing this. Now, they did it before because there was a dictator there. But now that this people of CAR have elected a president through fair and good elections, I don't know why the embargo is still there. So there is embargo. The government can't buy weapons. But at the same time, the rebels are buying weapons. Yeah, the rebels are buying weapons. They get them all over the place. They are heavily armed compared to the government. So the government cannot put up a fight with them as far as of now, maybe. I don't know what they are doing. But my point is, if the world community wants to help the Central African Republic, they can clean up this place in less than a month. It's going to be done. You know, it's not a huge country, no. And the rebels are not all over the place. But I just don't know why everybody's looking on. How do you say it? They don't want to help. You know, they come up with committees, with all kinds of meetings. They waste money for nothing, and then people are dying.
Yeah, that's sad.
Very sad.
What is the goal of the rebels, in your opinion, especially when they go and attack Christians?
It's money. You know, let me put it this way. Most of them are uneducated, and they have learned. I know this thing very well. Those rebels used to be people who would loot travelers in the country, back of the country. They would go and loot cars and do all kinds of stuff in the country, in the forest over there. And then he got used to it. Even to be fair to Islam, the rebels are using Islam as a way to hide behind. Because Muslims, really, as we know them in CAR, they are no violent people. We lived with them for years. They never attacked anybody. But I think those thugs are using Islam as a cover to come and disturb the whole place. So both Christians and Muslims really have to work together to rid the CAR of these rebels. I mean, they are thugs. They are not even rebels, to tell you the truth. They are just thugs that are using Islam, in a way, giving a bad name to Islam because of what they are doing. So I think if we want to bring peace to CAR, we have to change the names. We should not talk about a war between a religion. No, we have to change. We have to say that a bunch of thugs who happen to be Muslims are using Islam as a cover to go literally ransack the whole place.
Okay, we'll try to make sure that's clear in our reporting.
Now, don't put my name there because they're going to start.
Exactly.
If they hear, use a different name.
A source who wishes to remain anonymous says.
Well, because they know I said that, they're going to look for me.
Oh, you're saying it on our podcast right now. Too late.
Well, I hope it's not live.
So, Dr. Mapindi, I'm curious then, for our listeners who want to pray for the Christians that are in CAR, what would you ask them to pray for?
Christianity in CAR is strong. I lived there for many years. We worked hard to train our Christian brothers and sisters. I think if there is any prayer for now, it's the Lord to restore peace. Without peace, you can do nothing. And then the other thing is, the war brings poverty. People are suffering there, I tell you, and dying because lack of medical help and all the other things. So pray for peace. Pray for Christians to not grow violent. Eh? When you are attacked every day, you want to defend yourself. But pray that they may be seek peace instead of trying to get into this circle of violence. Nobody wins when you start killing each other, you know.
Where would you say that you see God working in the church right now?
Although things are so negative, but you go there, you are encouraged. Christians are growing in their faith. We have our ministry is there. We have an office there. We have we train people, and there, you know, it's so interesting. You go there, you expect them to be sad. No, they are very happy, you know, and they put their faith in the Lord. I'm saying this every time I go there, I am encouraged by them, although they live in poverty and insecurity, but they have not lost hope. So let me tell you, Christians in Central African Republic are good people. They love the Lord, they serve Him, and they are faithful to Him. That's what encourages me personally.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what your ministry does in CAR?
Well, we are mostly a media ministry, which means we do radio. We broadcast radio gospel programs there through radio. We use the radio stations that are there, mostly Christians. Even we use the government radio as well. And they give us, we buy airtime and we air radio programs. But then we do discipleship, Bible correspondence courses. We train pastors who are leading local churches without ever having going through seminary. And then we do counseling, we do all kinds of things. And the Lord has blessed Mission French Africa Ministries there in Africa, in Bangui especially. Usually when we go, we gather all the pastors. We get maybe 1,000 of them come and we train them. But also, we shouldn't forget, there is a very important seminary there, Bangui Evangelical Graduate School of Theology, that trains pastors who come from all the other countries. Now, because of the insecurity, many pastors from other countries don't go there anymore. But the seminary is still there. So we work with the seminary, and our ministry is there to help preach and teach and encourage people to seek peace. Because without peace, you can't do much.
When did Christianity first come to this region? And also, like, when was this country founded as well and get it its independence?
Central African Republic became independent from France in 1960. But Christianity has been in that country for 100 years now, I think. And this country has been a Christian nation for a long time. Islam grew only, you know, in the past 10 or 15 years. The percentage of Muslims used to be like 10%. But now, with all the influx of people coming from Sudan and other Muslim countries, you have more Muslims, but Central African Republic is really mostly a Christian nation.
All right. Well, thank you so much for giving us this overview of everything that's going on. It was very helpful for us just to get a better sense of the dynamics are playing out here in CAR. So thank you, Dr. Mapindi. For everyone that has feedback about the podcast, you can leave it on Twitter. We're at CT Podcast. You can also send us an email. We're at podcast@christianitytoday.com. Before we head over to Precious Moments, I want to remind everyone this podcast is made possible by everyone who gives to Christianity Today, our ministry. And I feel like every time we do this, we find another hat that Mark wears as part of his editor-in-chief role, you know, in addition to being quick-to-listen podcast host. So what's a new hat that you recently put on?
Well, I'm on the advisory board of something called the Pelican Project, which was unveiled last week. I'm very excited to be a part of this group. It really does speak to the dynamics of evangelicalism at its best. I mean, with the rise of the internet and the increasing prominence of women in the ministry, especially national Bible ministries and now national bloggers, even international bloggers, there was this almost a cacophony of sounds coming from various and sundry women teachers and leaders. And, you know, as these things go, when things explode like that, they were of mixed quality, sometimes theologically of mixed quality. And so a group of women in response, evangelical women in response to this cacophony said, let's see if we can figure out a way to help bring some order and some, at the moments when it's needed, a little orthodoxy to what is going on in the world of women's ministry. So they've pulled together a number of really stellar women who are leading this charge. Among the others are our own Andrea Palpandilli, and a regular writer for us, Karen Swallow Pryor, and Tish Harrison, really women whose writings and thinking I just deeply admire. So I'm actually honored to be on the advisory board. I haven't had much to advise because they're just showing such wisdom in pretty much everything they're doing. All I've been able to do is say, you guys are doing a great job. So I'm really looking to forward to seeing how this ministry unfolds, but it's a good moment.
All right. So if you want to know more about this new group, we did an article about it last week. It's called A New Guild Aims to Equip Women and Amplify Orthodoxy. If you would like to show your support for this guild by supporting our podcast, what you should actually do, go to morect.com/podcasts, morect.com/podcasts.
Yeah, to be generous, we should. I wouldn't object at all if you decided to donate to that organization.
It's called the Pelican Project.
But at the same time, you could write a check to Christianity Today as well.
It doesn't. Why
it's a
not?
Both and
yeah,
world.
Not all right, now is the time of the show that we call Precious Moments, when we ask everyone to share something that is bringing them joy. Mark, are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
Let's hear it.
We are in the process of repainting living room, dining room, and kitchen area. Now, I know that doesn't sound like fun to some people, but I get to get out a lot of my tools and my paint equipment. And as I've said on many occasions, it's one of the ways I get recreation as a journalist, editor, writer, is to do something that's really concrete and physical and has a beginning and end. Just to be able to look at a wall that I've just prepared for painting and then paint it, I'll sometimes just stop at the end of the evening. I'll pull up a chair and just look at the work that I've done and just go, that looks great.
You painted it the same color?
A little bit different this time.
Very cool.
People can find me at the Galley Report, where I'll give them advice on painting and house repairs. No.
A little bit, right?
A little bit. No, I link to articles I find of interest and the comment on them. And you can find that at the Galley Report. That's G-A-L-L-I Report at ChristianityToday.com/the Galley Report.
All right, Dr. McPendy?
Well, we have a story every day. We have our granddaughter. What else can be better in life?
Exactly.
Than to be looking at your granddaughter's picture or video or something like that. So,
does she live nearby?
Oh, no, far away. So that's what makes the video very important.
Yeah.
Skype and all the other stuff.
I know. Otherwise, you won't get to see her very often.
Yeah, we do WhatsApp, and that's good.
That's very good.
I saw on one website, by the way, I think it was on the Institute website, that saw you in a boat catching fish. Are you a fisherman?
Oh, yes. I love fishing, but it's too cold to go out there.
Yeah, right now. Yeah, exactly.
I love fishing. It's good. It just relaxes me. We are busy, you know.
Yeah. All right. We'll have to do that together sometime. That would be fun.
Good.
All right. So what's the website for your organization, for your ministry?
Yes. MissionFrenchAfrica.org. MissionFrenchAfrica.org. You will see what we do there. I'm happy that the ministry is going very well here in the U.S. and then in French Africa. What we are doing in Congo, in Central African Republic, in Benin, in Ivory Coast, and all over French Africa. So I'm very pleased. People are coming to the Lord. This year we had 428 converts, new converts in Africa. And then we have trained about 5,000 pastors. And so there are many reasons to be thankful to the Lord. So
these converts are coming out of Islam or?
All over the place, yeah. All over the place. Some of them are actually, they used to be Muslims, but we just don't like to give their names so that people don't bother them.
Yeah.
All right. My precious moment is that I recently went to a place, I'm not going to say it correctly, called Yeowuse, which is this Korean restaurant in Chicago. But apparently it's not just any Korean restaurant. It's actually a restaurant that has a lot of millennial Korean food. I guess that's a thing. Because I was with someone and they were like, you know, this is the type of food that young people like to eat when they go out in Korea. It was really delicious. They had some of the popcorn chicken, which I've eaten at before, which is really good. But they also had this one stew that apparently has its origins in the Korean War, when people would just throw whatever they could mix together and make a giant stew. And so it's food that probably cost a couple dollars to make if you were just going to make it from scratch. But of course, they've tricked all of us into paying $20 for a giant thing of it. It has spam in it too, if you like spam, which I like spam. But that was like a really great meal. I ate so much food there, and I think I'm a fan of eating young people Korean food. They also had a bunch of K-pop music as well. And it was next to a KTV place, so you could do karaoke after that if you wanted to.
Sounds like a perfect place for you to go.
Yeah, I was a fan. All right, people can follow me on Twitter at MEPAYNL. That is it for us this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Quick to Listen. Today's episode of Quick to Listen is brought to you in part by ChristianBook.com, where you'll find great Christmas gifts for everyone on your list. From books to Bibles and music to videos, toys, and more, Christian Book has everything Christmas for less. This podcast is produced by myself, Richard Clark, and Cray Allred. You can support our ministry, Christianity Today, by going to morect.com/podcasts. That is morect.com/podcasts. This podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We appreciate everyone who goes to Apple Podcasts and rates and reviews the show. Thank you so much for doing that. All right, we'll see you next week.